listen to the heart of God. There has never been a mighty movement of God where he did not call his people to pray.
You study the revivals throughout history. They are always preceded by massive concerted prayer.
What we have the capacity for is to mobilize heaven. And the only tool that I know that's been given to us is prayer. We begin there.
Prayer does something in the hearts of God's people. That's called revival. Prayer also prepares for God's word to be spread in an area, and that's called spiritual awakening.
Prayer is not just an effort for you to get God to bring his power to bear where you are. Prayer is an invitation for you to get involved with God and what he's up to.
So God does extraordinary things. He's the one who works and moves, and we're just kind of tapping into his power and doing what he wants us to do by being obedient and praying.
God is saying, I'm about to do something. I want you to pray with me.
So massive concerted prayer, I think, has the potential to bring revival and spiritual awakening to whatever area it occurs. Prayer walking is simply what it says. It's praying while walking.
Prayer walking is putting legs to your prayers. It's taking prayer to the street.
Prayer walking just gets me into a place where I can see my neighbor face to face.
In the next few minutes, you'll learn what prayer walking is, how to prayer walk, and the power it can have. You'll learn techniques and guidelines you can use to prayer walk not only the New York metro area, but also your own cities and communities.
Prayer walking is a term that was popularized by Steve Hawthorne and Graham Kendrick, and they described prayer walking as praying on site with insight.
Prayer walking is just going out and letting God use your eyes to change your heart to accomplish his purposes.
You're in a neighborhood, you can see the needs by looking and observing the houses, by seeing the city, by seeing the people, but the bottom line is you're praying on site with insight, and you just have more understanding of an area when you're prayer walking.
And what I love about prayer walking is you can do it anytime. You can do it on your way to work. You can do it in your car. You can have prayer drives. But anywhere you go, you can be in touch with the mind of God and praying his blessing on a particular area.
I was taught to pray with my head bowed and my eyes closed. When I do that, there's a tendency for me to go to sleep.
When you look across the scripture, you find there's many ways to pray. Sometimes in the Bible, you see people praying while dancing. And if that's not enough, you see people praying while they're running, sometimes on the run. But you see prayer in so many different ways.
Prayer is conversation with God.
Praying while walking with your eyes open is actually a very natural thing to do. And I think we have to teach our people that. It's also being able to see the needs of the community in a way in which your church can react to those needs or respond to those needs.
A prayer walk is time set apart to pray for the needs of those around us, those in our neighborhoods, our communities, our cities.
Genuine prayer is not created by human beings. I believe what Apostle Paul is saying is true. He's saying in Romans, we do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us.
What would God want to see happen here? How would God want to see this situation changed? What would happen in this setting that would bring God the greatest glory?
Look to see where God's at work and join him.
In 1 Peter, Peter tells us through God's word that we're supposed to have purpose behind our prayer, that we're supposed to pray with a sound mind and a sober spirit.
You need to understand, first of all, that this is not just a sightseeing exercise for tourists.
But what you're doing is you're being very intentional about it. And I think that's the key point to prayer journeys, is that every day you drive by an area.
Now, you could just go for a walk. You could just go out and do a neighborhood survey. But instead, you're tapping into God's power, and you really are praying without ceasing while you're on that prayer walk.
In a city like New York, as you look around you, you can just be overwhelmed at the sights and the sounds and the visual stimulation, and you find that you're walking, but you're not praying.
Sometimes that does mean that you stop and you talk about something else because it's so easy to get distracted. But primarily, it's focusing on the area that you're praying for.
Why walk? Again, you have to be with the people.
When Jesus looked out at Jerusalem, I think he was prayer walking.
When you study the life of Jesus Christ, you find that he did 75% of his ministry outside of the walls of established religion. In our day, it's just the opposite.
Once he left the temple, he left the temple. And every place he went, he walked. When he was on his way and stopped at Samaria, for example, he was walking. And that was part of his prayer walk, that he stopped at a certain station, had an encounter with a certain particular individual, the woman at the well.
But when he touched one woman thoroughly, it touched her city, it touched the next city, and basically touched the whole of Samaria.
He was on his feet when he did just about all his miracles. He was out there walking. He wasn't sitting someplace praying that God some way would send an answer to the woman caught in adultery, blind Bartimaeus, the woman at the well. That's prayer walking. You know, we got to get out of the church. So for me, prayer walking is going out to the community and letting Jesus look through our eyes at what's there.
When you prayer walk, you get out of your comfort zone. When you prayer walk, you allow yourself to enter another culture, another zone. You hear another language communicated to you.
Prayer walking gets you outside. It gets you in the streets. It gets you out in the neighborhood. It gets you out among the people who God loves so dearly.
It's people. It's people seeing people and their needs and then responding to that with a real petition.
Prayer walking gets you out there, and it gets you into the neighborhoods where people live, where they work, and where they play. And so going outside of the confines of the walls of the church is really where ministry happens.
Seeing people and seeing their hurts and experiencing their pain and seeing what God can do with a city like this, so full of talented and gifted people.
You get the eyes of Jesus. You begin to see the world the way Jesus sees the world. It gives you the ears of Jesus Christ because you begin to hear what he wants to say. It gives you the heart of Jesus Christ. Your heart goes out because you see humanity at its clearest and at its best, and you begin to have a passion and a burden for this area that just cannot be explained apart from God's Holy Spirit. God says people matter for eternity, so why not pray for them with all of our heart? I think it's easy to get distracted on prayer walking to praying for things.
You're not praying for buildings. A lot of times it's the buildings you see and things that you see that are physical, but the things you're really praying for are the spiritual things, the real live things. So pray for people.
When you look at grocery stores, restaurants, this represent millions of people. Pray for them.
It's people that Jesus loves. It's people that God wants to bring into his family. And it's people that are going to spend eternity either with God or separated from God. So what do you pray for on a prayer walk? You pray for the people that you encounter. Prayer walking, unlike so many other forms of prayer, is designed to be done as a group. As a matter of fact, I think prayer walking should be fun. It should be something that you do in relationship with other people.
And I would look for the opportunity to meet together, pray together, and then to focus our praying.
As you prepare for your prayer walk, you need to understand that this is not just something you can jump into. You need to be a prepared person if you want to pray with power. Begin by spending some time just confessing any known sin in your life. Make sure that your relationship with the Lord is right so that when you pray, you can pray with power.
We ought to be very, very focused on seeking to be God's people, whatever part he has for us, to reach that city as God will direct us.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful in its effect. If you want to pray with that kind of power, then get ready.
Prayer walking allows Christians to experience the power of God. We hear that there is power in prayer. I think that's partially true. I think the truth is there is a God who answers prayers, and the power belongs to him.
A lot of times we have a tendency to want to pray against things, But take time to pray for things. Pray for God's best. Pray for God's blessing. Pray for God to work in situations to bring glory and honor to Himself.
Remember, there's a verse in the Bible that says, righteousness exalts a nation. Now, we would like to see righteousness to be all over the place.
We as Christians have a tendency to cry out against the darkness when the problem is not always the darkness. Darkness can't be anything but dark. We need to pray that God would allow us to be the light that He intends so that we can shine light into darkness. When light shines into darkness, it dispels the darkness.
What are the results when we pray? We get closer to God. Non-Christians become Christians. Churches are planted. Churches grow.
Learn the needs of the area. Find out basic information about the area. Research what has already been prayed for, what needs to be reinforced, and what new needs have been discovered.
Pray for marriages. Pray for families. Pray for businesses. Pray for leaders. Pray for government officials. Pray for organizations. Pray that God's will would be done in the hearts and lives of people. Pray for the community.
What kind of stores are in that area? What kind of entertainment centers are in that area?
Pray for the gangs. Pray for the leaders of those gangs. Pray for the police department that they would know how to deal with those gangs. Pray for the people who might have an influence on them.
Are there places, are there people in that area that are not promoting righteousness?
In New York City, Manhattan, there are 189,000 senior adults who are here. Pray for them.
Are there churches in the area, or are there lack of churches in the area? Pray for them.
I think it starts with getting a team of people together who have a real heart for that particular community, and then match up and make prayer walking fun.
Divide your group into twos, threes, or fours. It can be as general as a section of town or as specific as a city block.
It may be that you go to a high place where you can look out over an area to pray. In New York City, we go to the Empire State Building and you can see all over the tri-state area. It can give you fresh insights about ways to pray as you look at the broad expanse and see things from a different perspective.
Take the subway, take the bus. I mean, the subway is a great place to pray a walk. Ride the subway, look at the people, pray for them.
Determine how long the prayer walk will last. This allows the teams to meet back as a whole and discuss what they experienced, what needs they discovered, and even what results they saw.
When you begin your walk in a prayerful attitude, you literally get to see what you should be praying for.
Genuine prayer is happening when God is about to do something and God tells the Holy Spirit, tell them to pray because I'm about to do something.
And when you're out there praying, you have the thoughts that God has. And sometimes God gives you new thoughts. Sometimes He brings thoughts to your mind from Scripture.
When you prayer walk, all your senses are at work and you are waiting what to hear, what to see, what to smell, what to taste. When you shake hands, something happens. And when you prayer walk, you can be guided into different directions.
Allow God to guide you to think about the kind of people that might be represented by the things you see. You may pray for the children that you see represented by toys. Pray for teachers when you walk by a school. Pray for preachers when you walk by a church.
You see a mosque, pray for them. You see a synagogue, pray for them. You see a temple, pray for them.
Pay attention to what God may be doing in the situations around you. That may be your invitation to join Him in His activity. It may be that you get personally involved at the moment you're there. It may be that you see a need or an opportunity to meet a need. Oftentimes, as you look into the eyes and faces of people, you'll see sadness. I've seen tears in people on the subway. and it gives me thoughts about how I can pray for those people.
Did God create this person? Of course, the answer is yes. Does God love this person? The answer is yes. Did Jesus die for this person? The answer is yes. Does God want this person to go to heaven by faith in Christ? The answer is yes. How can I make that happen?
A prayer walking may bring you into contact with someone that God's intending to impact that day.
Or maybe God is about to do something through the life of this person, and God brought me here to pray for him or for her.
So be sensitive to God's Spirit as you walk and pray.
Take turns praying. Sometimes you can pray out loud. Sometimes you can pray silently. Sometimes you can simply go back and forth and just tossing the ball to one another while you're praying. And you just have a good time doing it. You're out in the community, you're walking, you're sharing back and forth, you're just listening to God as you pray. And sometimes that means that one person can pray for the group for a period of time. Other times it means you just pray sentence prayers going back and forth among the group.
One of the values of praying together with a partner as you're walking or driving through your community is to be able to pray in agreement. The scripture tells us that where two or three of you agree on earth is touching anything, it will be done for them of my Father.
Concerted prayer gives us a picture and a feel for the heart of God.
As you move out there together, God will prompt other people and use that to lead you to know what to pray. And so it's this dynamic exchange between you and your team that are out there praying.
And the way you pray may shape the way I pray. I may adjust my praying according to what God seems to be saying as you pray.
So when you're prayer walking, you're bringing a group of people together, and they're in agreement as you pray and walk together, and you're taking notice of the things that are around you.
When we're coming into agreement, we're not agreeing with each other, but we're wanting to come into an agreement with God, and as we help each other, we come to understand what God has on His heart. And we begin to say, God, would you do that? And God's answer to us is yes. One of the great weaknesses we have as we pray is that we don't even know what to ask for. But the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God.
You know what's interesting? After the end of Matthew chapter 9, he called the same people who were listening to him as his disciples, and then he sent them with authority. Be careful when you pray, because you might be an answer to that prayer.
As you're praying, you may identify a need and realize that God's inviting you to help meet that need. You may have an experience like Isaiah did where God said, Isaiah, who could I send? Who would go for me? And Isaiah realized, it's me, Lord. Would you allow me to be a part of accomplishing that task?
When I walk through the community, I generally have a sense of what I should pray for. And in addition to that, while I'm in that attitude of prayer, sometimes you meet people and you're engaged in some kind of discussion that gives you another connection for prayer.
Occasionally, as you're prayer walking, you'll see someone that you sense God prompts you to speak to. One of the best things you can do for them is just say, we're out praying for people in our community. Is there a special way we could pray for you? Or you might ask, is there a special need in your life we can pray for? Is there a way we can pray for you or for your family?
At the end of a prayer walk, you should get together and share what God said to you. Because sometimes you'll find that God gave a theme to the entire team that's out there praying. And God will use that to set a direction for a church or to help you establish a new ministry. Sometimes you're not going to see the fruit of what God does immediately. As a matter of fact, sometimes only eternity will reveal the fruit of your prayer walking. When you get back, even if you did not see any visible results, celebrate the fact that when you prayed, God answered and God moved. I think that's one of the greatest ways to end a prayer walk, is to celebrate in advance what God is doing.
pray for the peace and the prosperity of the city, because when the city prospers, you too will prosper.
And it takes some while, you know, it takes God to work and change people's hearts as they're moving along and to get other people convinced that God's going to work and move. But then I think it will just be an explosion of spirituality and God working and moving in the city.
We witness it in the Old Testament. We witness it in the New Testament. We see jails open up. We see earthquakes come. I like to see us experience that.
So I'm a big fan of prayer walking because I've seen the changes that it brings about.
We're praying for revival in America. We're praying for revival to start in our cities. It can begin where you are. It can begin through the people you're praying for.
It's got to begin someplace, and for me, the beginning of all things is to pray. Pray, just pray, and pray some more, and pray till you see something happen.